Well, praise the Lord. Welcome back to Good News from a Far Country. And good to have you on board again. And hope you all survived my rant from last week. And, you know, as I said last week, when you pre-record the messages a month ahead sometimes, I've been chomping at the bit to get back in the studio and had a couple things to say, as you can remember from last week if you listened. And you know, just that was off the cuff and that sort of thing. And I don't feel any better for doing it, that's for sure. You know, sometimes you know the proverbial get it off your chest type things. And man, I just want to exhort, Christian. I just want to rebuke. I want to, you know, whatever has to be done to the slumbering Christian in these last days. All right. Well, I do want to preach on the trembling Christian this morning. And if you'll turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 26, I alluded to it last week, the wrong response to COVID-19. And go over some little bit of similar ground before we get into it. Isaiah, if you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 26, actually you can turn to Jeremiah chapter 10, I guess, first, and hold your place in Isaiah 26. And as I said last week, I've been observing Christians during this recent pandemic, as we've called it. Some have called it a plandemic. I agree with that 100%. And it is a pandemic. Let me state that this is a real virus, and there is a segment of the population that is affected by it, and that segment needs to be careful and take measures and that sort of thing. But for the overwhelming majority of us, we need to move forward, and we need to go back to work, and we need to open up restaurants and businesses, especially small business in Maine, and that sort of thing, which has been devastated by this, by the way. And I'm very concerned. As I said last week and spoke emotionally last week, I'm very concerned about the fear and anxiety that I've witnessed since this engineered event broke out. And I'm reminded once again of Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2. And the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." Father, we love you, Lord. Thank you. For this day, Father, thank you for these folks that are listening. And Father, I pray you'd be a blessing to them. I pray, Father, you'd help them out, Lord. I pray you'd minister to them. Father, I pray you'd love the ones that need to be loved on. I pray you'd rebuke the ones that need to be rebuked on. I pray you'd exhort the ones that need to be exhorted this morning. Father, have your will and your way. Thank you, Father, for bringing us through this thing. And Lord, just pray. Lord, I don't know what normal will be. Is there a new normal, or will we go back to January and early February before this thing hit? What's going to be, Lord? I know this. Within respect to the Bible and worship and that sort of thing, I serve a God that doesn't change. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank God for that. And Father, I love you. Lord, I ask it all in Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen. Again, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." And folks, make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. This pandemic, this COVID-19 virus is a sign from heaven. As I preached probably 4 or 5 weeks now, God dropped this regardless of the conspiracy and regardless of this and that, and I'm not discounting them. I'm just saying nothing happens without God allowing it to happen. Amen. And Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7 says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines," and listen, "pestilences," that's viruses, "and earthquakes in diverse places." All these things are the beginning of sorrows. The Christian, as we learned several weeks ago, again, we're not appointed unto wrath. We're not going to see the wrath of God, but we're going to see the beginning of sorrows. We're going to see the things on a small scale, on a lighter scale, that are going to come to pass in the great tribulation, what the Bible calls the great tribulation. You and I, in other words, right now, are seeing some signs from heaven. Make no mistake about it, COVID-19 is a sign from heaven. God allowed that thing to happen. And as I said last week, and as I'm saying today, listen to me, the heathen ought to be scared. It ought to have the snot scared out of them, amen? The heathen ought to be petrified about what they're seeing. It ought to cause them consternation, amen? It ought to cause them fear and trembling. But it ought not to cause the Christian that. The heathen are supposed to be dismayed at the signs, and I've seen the Christian dismayed at them. And I can't understand that. I can understand the heathen losing their mind over it, but Christians? Now, just to be clear, I'm not talking about having a concern with regards to this strain of corona. I'm talking about fear and panic. The difference is enlightening when you understand the difference, amen? Fear in anything outside of God, by the way, fear in anything outside of God is largely unproductive emotional state. Amen? Let me say that again. Fear in anything outside of God is a largely unproductive emotional state, while concern is a rational response to potential or real trouble. It's not a sin, Christian, to be concerned this morning. That's good. That shows a prudence. That shows forethought. Amen. You ought to be concerned. We have older people in our congregation, just like most, if not all, churches do. And when I opened up the church, in fact, I say opened up, we never closed. Amen. When we were going there and the numbers dwindled down for about 2 weeks, real low and all that. But listen, we had the older folks, they stayed home through this. And guess what? They should have stayed home. They did the right thing. This COVID-19, this strain of this virus greatly affects the elderly, especially those that have pre-existing conditions. We know that. We're all doctors now. Amen. We're all doctors through this thing. We've all watched the videos. We've all, you know, watched all these things and read up on and all that. And we're all doctors now. And they did the right thing. It's okay to be concerned. That's a rational response. But the Christian is not to fear. Not at least that. Amen. Not at least that. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 17 and 18. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. You know what I did not see in this pandemic? Christian boldness. I saw, as I said last week, I saw the Christians running for shelter just as much as I saw the world running for shelter. I saw the Christians dismayed at the signs of heaven on the same level as I saw an unsaved world who doesn't know where they're going when they die, has no hope of the resurrection, has nothing. And I saw Christians on the same fear scale as the world, and the Christian's supposed to have hope. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear, listen to me, get this, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. God never intended for you and I as born-again Christians to be tormented. Amen. Never did he have that in mind. And yet that's what I saw with Christians. In absolute panic over this thing. Now here in verse 17 and 18, here we see fear as an emotion, torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And now, Christian, get this. It's not talking about whether you're saved or whether you're lost, but rather it's a relationship issue. And there it is. There it is. I could tell through this pandemic, folks, I can tell who had the right relationship with Jesus Christ and who didn't by their response to COVID-19. I could tell whose nose is in the book. I could tell who had faith. I could tell who had an active personal relationship with their Savior. I could tell that between those that maybe go to church all the time, but weren't in their book and didn't have the right relationship, and it produced the wrong response. The problem is twofold, amen? The problem is twofold because our salvation is not complete. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, we're still in earthen vessels. We're still in flesh and blood. You know, that flesh and blood that cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We're still in that. We're saved. We're sealed until the day of redemption. But our salvation is not complete. Amen? It's not complete. So then we can never be wholly freed from fear. But the problem is twofold. The problem comes in when fear cometh. Number one, do we flee to the rock that is Jesus Christ? Do we flee to that cleft in the rock, that safer, quiet harbor that is God, that frees us up from shipwreck and from tempests? And number two, does your fear get expelled for it gives way to faith? If not, fear can assail the mind, torment the believer, and impede that peace he promised, which would pass all understanding. Remember, as I've quoted on over and over in this, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us, the born-again Christian, that's the context, hath given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I'm telling you right now, I have not witnessed a sound mind in the majority of Christians that I've come across during COVID-19. How about you this morning? You're driving in your car, or you're listening at your breakfast table, or wherever you're listening to this morning, maybe on the internet, through the internet. And why don't you have a moment of introspection, and why don't you think about what was your response to this? It's between you and God. I can't see it, but God knows. God knows how you responded to this thing. And as I said, I saw the wrong response to COVID-19 in the majority of Christians that I came in contact with. They lost their mind. I saw pastors lose their mind. When we were at the second rally up in Augusta, handing out tracts and unfurling our banners and all that stuff there, a man came up to me, and I can't remember if he went to a church. It was Southern Maine or it was New Hampshire. I can't remember now. But this guy was brokenhearted. His church hadn't met since this thing broke out. And he told me, he said, and it's likely that our pastor won't open a church for months. He's in full panic. He said, what do I do? I said, get another pastor. Vote him out. He's not a leader. He's got no faith. He's not in the book. Old preacher said one time, he says, if a man can lead, I can follow. Amen? And that's true. If a man can lead, I can submit to that authority. I can follow. If that man can't lead, get out of the way. I'll lead. I said, what did you tell that man? I said, you need to get rid of that preacher. Either that or you need to get out of the church. If you're going to, I didn't tell him to cause any trouble. I didn't tell him to do that. But I said, if the church don't want to vote him out and you can't sit under that man anymore, you need to get out before you will cause trouble. What a tragedy. I've seen pastors lose their mind over this thing. Seeing Christians lose their mind over this. They don't have a sound mind, according to 2 Timothy 1:7. All right, look with me in Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Here's a loaded verse. Amen. Here's a loaded verse for you and I going through this pandemic in round 2 or round 3 or whatever's coming in the summer and in the fall. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Amen. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. In this verse, you have a promise of perfect peace conditioned on a Christian mind stayed focused on God, stayed fixed on God, looking unto the author and finisher of your faith. Mark the perfect man, Psalm 37, verse 37. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The man you're to mark is the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Psalm 37. Mark the perfect man. Keep your mind stayed on him, amen. You know what I saw the Christian in the pandemic? You know what their mind was stayed on? Fox News. Amen. Rush Hamburger. Sean Insanity. Amen. That's what I saw the Christian mind stayed on. The internet. Videos. You know, do you remember when the internet was new? I know this goes back years now, right? Remember, you know, that first 10 or 15 years of the internet, maybe even 20, I don't remember now, of the internet. I guess it's not that old. Yeah, about probably 10 or 15 years. Remember, everybody would send you these things on the internet, these videos, you got to watch it. Remember the emails you'd get, if you don't pass this on, you won't receive the blessing. You must pass this on to 5,000 people or 500 people or you will not receive the benefit. Remember all that garbage? You know, it's been nice the last couple of years. Nobody really does that anymore. I mean, unless it's something really pertinent to a specific brother or sister in Christ or something like that. But for the most part, you know, we got away from all that stuff. Well, it started up again with this. I can't tell you how many people sent me, you got to see this, you got to look at that, watch this, here's a video. And I even sent some of them out that were real pertinent. And so you have the Christian mind stayed on the internet, amen? And they're not putting their trust in God, they're putting it in Trump or Alex Jones, amen? They're all over Fakebook, Facebook, Spacebook, My Face, Your Face, Twitter, Critter, Fritter, all that garbage that's out there. Matt Drudge. Now, I just described the typical Christian who's in full DEFCON 5 panic because their mind is stayed on the latest Mark Levin book instead of the book, the King James Bible, amen? The typical Christian has no real relationship with their God today. It's surfacey. It's emotional at best. And that won't cut it. That will not serve you well when God decides to interrupt the world and drop a pandemic on it. And that's what God did. Look at Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. What a wonderful opportunity for you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And you know what you see? You see the Christian fainting. That's what they did in this pandemic. Amen. Matthew 24, 6 says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. That's right where we are, folks. This is before verse 21 of Matthew 24, which is the great tribulation. Amen. There are things. You and I, the next great cataclysmic event, as I preached a few weeks ago, is the rapture. But after the rapture goes immediately into the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, a time not for the church. It's not the church's trouble, but it's the great tribulation, a time where God is going to deal with that Jew and deal with this world as they go through that tribulation. But there are going to be things before the beginning of sorrows, as verse 8 says. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Don't we not hear that every day on the radio and on the news? And the Bible exhorts, be not troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And you've seen the opposite. You've seen the opposite. And it's just tragic, amen? It's just tragic. I've seen this COVID-19 causing the Christian fear and anxiety. Oh, I heard that word so many times during this. Anxiety. And I'm sorry, I don't understand. I understand that some people are predisposed to anxiety. Okay, I understand that there's some of that. But I don't understand otherwise Christians that don't have those problems get filled with anxiety during this thing. Luke 18:1, look at the Bible. Let me see, where is it? Luke in chapter 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Amen. You know what that is? That's a running thread or a conversation with God. Amen. You know, these people that text, they have these, they call it like a running thread, right? Where you know, it just keeps going. That's what you ought to have with God. That would help you through this thing. How about Isaiah 40 and verse 31? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be what? Weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Amen. Of course, that's a trib context for the Jew and for God's deliverance of the Jew and Petra. But the thing is if you want to run your race, amen, if you got to renew your strength. How do you do that? Through prayer, through fellowship with God, through reading your Bible, praying without ceasing. Men are always to pray. Amen. You got to do that. And I haven't seen Christians do that. I haven't seen Christians do that through this thing. And folks, what it tells me is that Christians don't have the relationship with Jesus Christ that they should have. And I pray for you. And I pray, and I'm not saying my relationship's perfect. Let me state that. My relationship with Jesus Christ is nowhere where it ought to be. I'm always striving. You ought always to be too. But you can measure your response to this plandemic, this panicdemic, this pandemic. You can measure your relationship with Jesus Christ by how you responded to this. Because God hath not given you and I the spirit of fear, but of power. And of a sound mind. Did you have that through this thing? I hope you did. If not, you need to work on some things with the Lord. You need to get in that book. You need to, forget Facebook. You need to have FaceTime with God. You say, how do I do that? You want to speak to God face to face? It's through the book. And you need to do that. All right, Lord bless you. Might you be a blessing to him.